Warning, the following podcast will cause confusion,
this podcast,
potential despair.
The ideas contained herein tend to continue to grow in measure.
Once you start looking, it seems like there's an endless supply of examples of unintended consequences.
Just keep coming up with more examples. There are dozens of scared coming up.
Enough to drive, 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 enough to
drive, enough to drive. Unintended consequences.
Inspired by an article in
June 18th, 2012, so Scientific American, Karen Hopkins reports.
There's been a tremendous increase and the number of people suffering from tick-borne diseases, particularly Lyme disease. But there's others as well in the Northeast, New England area. And I've been saying for a while that wolves need to be reintroduced to the area. They love to prey upon white-tailed deer, which appears to be the creature that is bringing the disease-carrying ticks. Rabid wolves will attack and bite the humans, but generally wolves will only attack children under 12 years of age. But I suspect that the number of people affected by Lyme disease, seriously affected by Lyme disease, far outweighs the number of people that got attacked by wolves even when they were at their peak interacting with humans in New England. But the wolves got run off.
People are gonna protect their family.
Probably because they were easier to see. The coyotes got run off after they tried to fill in for the wolves. They like to feed on deer too.
As well as rodents.
Then foxes came in, but still they threatened humans' pets. Their cats and small dogs. Well, they got ran off. End up with a lot of deer. The deer share habitat with humans. Rather close proximity. At campground and even in people's yards, the deer come to chew up your ornamental flowers and leave a few the Lyme disease infected ticks as a form of thanks, perhaps. But what do we do?
Bring back the wolves, I say.
Seems like nature is going to keep a certain balance regardless of the activities of individual species.
If the right hand don't get to them, the left one will.
Now it's paved with good intentions.
And regardless of intentions, there is inevitably unintended consequences.
Frequently, trying to do what one thinks is right, what one thinks leads to outcomes that one thinks are not.
Obamacare.
The president hopes to get more people covered by insurance by demanding.
That employers provide insurance for their full-time employees.
Private employers reduce workers' hours.
And keep the number of employees under 50.
Many people choose to be vegetarians because they want to reduce the suffering of animals. However, That's only true if you ignore the methods that are used to keep the insects and rodents or other animals that molest the crops away, which includes poisons, traps, shooting. There's still a lot of suffering going on in the animal, world, even if you choose to eat vegetarian.
Do the bacteria and the fungus that are kept in check by pesticides and
herbicides,
treatments on the plants, are also living creatures, are they?
Yes. Do plants suffer? I'm not conscious of their consciousness. So,
no, 165 years ago, give or take, Ignaz Semmelweis
made the observation that would save the lives of millions of women who died of infections after giving birth.
The women that had their babies delivered by midwives had a better survival rate than those delivered by doctors. And he encouraged his colleagues to wash their hands.
They thought he was crazy.
Kicked him out of his profession. But he was right. And he had no way of proving it.
They thought he was crazy.
Today, nobody would think about delivering a baby after performing a necropsy on a cadaver without washing their hands. That's mostly thanks to Louis Pasteur, who was actually acting on
Ignaz Semmelweis's germ theory. He encouraged doctors to wash and sanitize their hands.
Pasteur believed that air contained living organisms,
microbes. Pasteur came up with various ways of controlling these microbes. And this awareness of germs led to increase in cleanliness, which is greatly beneficial
to most of the world in extending life and cutting down on harmful infections.
Also asthma, in which the bodies of young children are not exposed to the harmful microbes that would allow their bodies to build up resistance.
Isn't it just the way of humans come up with a good idea and over-apply a good idea until it becomes a bad idea? Like nuclear weapons.
So antibiotics
were introduced to fight against these germs.
Once introduced, they were found to be very effective and came into common use.
They were being prescribed so commonly that people were even taking them for when they had a cold, which was caused by a virus, not bacteria. So antibiotics would have no effect.
I remember when they started selling antibacterial soaps and creams. I said, oh, no, this is going to end up just like with insecticide and the cockroaches.
What good is it
to be able to perceive the future if you have no power to change it.
The use of insecticides makes it so that only the most resistant cockroaches survive. They mate with the other resistant cockroaches. Then they make super resistant cockroaches. Then where are you at, huh?
There's this pattern. It just keeps repeating itself. Over and over and over again.
Stronger and stronger pesticides were required. And so we were poisoning our environment more and more.
Sometimes even the most simple things can have larger consequences than we might suspect.
Excessive cleanliness, as well as overuse of antibiotics.
Well, now there's those, what do they call those viruses that go through hospitals?
Antibiotic-resistant bacteria, a.k.a. superbugs.
Bacterial cockroaches.
Coincidentally, as I took a break from recording this, I listened to an episode of 99% Invisible. In the episode, they were talking about the
unintended consequences of road design.
Happens to be 99% invisible.
And they were talking about people's perceptions of things. And in order to make people safe, engineers, designers, developers, when they were
designing and building suburban streets,
decided to put the trees on the inside of the sidewalks. Because they had concluded that trees were dangerous to drivers if they went off the road and they hit a tree. But by doing this, they pointed out, they also put the pedestrians between the driver and the trees, and they also created the illusion that the road is wider, wider roads encourage faster speeds. So people are now driving faster.
Behavioral science, there's something called a Peltzman effect, or risk homeostasis, or perhaps most commonly and easy to understand, risk compensation. And what it comes down to is perceived levels of safety increase risky behavior. You put padded dashboards and better braking systems, seat belts, people will drive faster. People perceive themselves as being safer, they will
take greater risks.
The Perlsman effect, it comes from where he actually did a study before and after safety devices were installed in cars. Back from like 47 to 56, and then from 66 to 72 after they put in all different kinds of things, you know, including energy absorbing steering wheels and things.
Used to be, you hit something head on and that baby goes straight through your chest, right into your heart.
The reality is, all the manufacturing safety standards did not reduce the frequency of crash fatalities per miles driven.
Maybe it's something biological, like whatever makes squirrels run out the road in front of cars, from a cat.
And the cars that were equipped with safety devices were involved in a higher number of crashes.
A disproportionately higher number.
Probably just as true for skateboarders with knee pads and elbow pads.
Probably little kids with their bicycle helmets as well. And smokers of light cigarettes.
Free condom distribution does not reduce HIV prevalence. Better skydiving equipment, more fancy dives. And the fatality rate remains constant.
There is a
a serious exception to the Peltzman effect, though, when it comes to safety procedures and standards within manufacturing. That has definitely made people safer.
Felix Baumgartner broke the sound barrier back in October of 2012.
Falling through the sky.
We certainly had some pretty good equipment.
Fishermen have long been encouraged to only keep the big fish and throw the little ones back until they can grow bigger. Seems like a nice idea. However, what's happened is that the large fish being removed from the fish mating environment has led to a general decrease in the size of all the fish of the species that are fished. The genes that made big fish are being removed from the gene pool. Thus, the fish are just getting smaller.
The little ones don't grow as big as the old big ones used to.
In 2003, the United States invaded the country of Iraq with the intention of deposing a dictator and installing a democratic form of government. After the elections were held, the country of Iran won the election.
They also intended to boost arms sales and get their hands on a lot of natural resources, which I think were the intended consequences, and they were achieved. And that's why we're willing to pull out now. What do you think about that?
Intended consequences. Corrections printed in newspapers tend to reinforce the original misstatement. If you notice, most newspapers are very careful about not repeating the error. However, it doesn't matter. Just referencing it reinforces the original misreportage.
The New York Times would like to apologize for the misreportage regarding that whole weapons of mass destruction thing we allegedly located in Iraq. And after a serious investigation, we kind of concluded that Judith Miller was off her rocker for a short period of time, and we regret the error. Sorry about that, America.
But the Iraqis got what they deserved.
According to the theory of cognitive bias, a person tends to cling more strongly to their original presupposition after being presented with contrary information. What's interesting about this is the more informed and intelligent the person is, the more likely they are to be a victim of cognitive bias because they are better able to present arguments supporting their original supposition. So reading and being informed turns out to be an unintended consequence. Reading and being well informed turns out to help you be and inclined to hold on to previous preconceptions.
That's ironic, isn't it?
Kinda.
This is a topic that just won't quit. I've been working on this since February. And I pick up the perspective section from last Sunday's Tampa Bay Times. Today, on the 12th of July, this is from the 7th, and I'm reading about vicarious goal fulfillment, which is an explanation about why people tend to eat less healthily when they see that there are healthy items on menus. In studies, Gavin Fitzsimmons, a professor who studies consumer psychology at Duke's Fuqua School of Business, said that he has presented participants with a range of menu choices, sometimes just unhealthy items, sometimes neutral items like fish sandwich, and sometimes healthy choices like salad. It turned out that including a healthy option did change people's behavior by making them eat more unhealthily. When you put a healthy option up there on an otherwise unhealthy menu, Not only do we not pick it, but its presence on the menu leads us to swing over and pick something that's worse for us than we normally would.
I'm sure that was unintended.
Fitzsimmons attributes it to a phenomenon called vicarious goal fulfillment. By seeing a healthy menu option at a restaurant, it basically satisfies that goal to be healthy, he said, and gives consumers leeway to order what they want. Brian Elbell, who works at New York University School of Medicine, has studied consumer behavior before and after New York City required chain restaurants to post calorie counts in 2008. He found that 54% of respondents in New York City said they noticed the calorie labeling. Of those, less than a quarter said they ate fewer calories as a result.
When the receipts were actually checked, they found that there was no change in the caloric intake of the customer.
This is like the Pelsman effect, all over again. United States helps Egypt overthrow a dictator, Hosni Mubarak, only to have democratic elections in which the Muslim Brotherhood, a conservative religious organization, takes power.
I don't think that was the intention.
In an effort to protect his family, a man has security bars installed on all his windows. During a fire, his family is unable to escape.
Yeah, what about those gated communities? That, like, just a big version of the same thing?
Makes me think about that wall on the U.S.-Mexico border.
Children that have been through abstinence programs are more likely to have unprotected sex when they finally do have sex.
The grounding of all commercial air flights after the attack on the World Trade Center actually led to a significant reduction in air pollution.
Increased gas prices reduced the number of traffic fatalities.
The assassinations of John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King made the passage of the Civil Rights Act far easier than it might otherwise have been.
Kind of sorry about this podcast, because I know what's going to happen to you. Same thing that happened to me. But I felt like it needed to be said, so I said it.
There's no telling what might happen now that you have.
Can't believe it happened again. I'll never be done with this.
In May 2013, President Barack Obama, in addressing a group of Naval Academy graduates, said this.
And yet, we must acknowledge that even here, even in our military, we've seen how the misconduct of some can have effects that ripple far and wide. Likewise, those who commit sexual assault are not only committing a crime, they threaten the trust and discipline that makes our military strong. That's why we have to be determined to stop these crimes, because they've got no place in the greatest military on earth.
A couple weeks earlier, that same month, he had this to say. I quote,
I don't want any more speeches or, you know, awareness programs or training, but ultimately folks look the other way. When we find out somebody's engaging in this stuff, they have got to be held accountable, prosecuted, stripped of their positions, court-martialed, fired, dishonorably discharged, period. It is not acceptable.
Unfortunately, since Obama is the commander-in-chief, these statements have violated an army policy. This is called an unlawful command influence, something that plays a role in military courts, which has allowed dozens of cases to be dismissed. And he's considered a very powerful person. When he says things like this,
they have got to be held accountable, prosecuted, stripped of their positions, court-martialed, fired, dishonorably discharged, period.
Could be interpreted by the jurors as an attempt to influence a court-martial. The president could be perceived as ordering a specific outcome for a trial. This is a violation of the military legal code. And these cases are being dismissed. Accused sexual predators are avoiding trial because Obama said what
everybody would want to hear a president say regarding such circumstances. I feel certain that that is not what he intended when he made those statements.